Are you a lapper? Intrigued? You're going to need to listen on to discover why. Are you a lapper? That's going to look good on social media, isn't it, when we put it up, flag it up later. It's called clickbait, I think it is, isn't it? So, John 4:35, moving on nicely and neatly, says this: I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. So though these words of Jesus were recorded around 2,000 years ago, they remain for us as relevant today as they have ever done. And in Matthew 9:37-38, Jesus added this by saying, The harvest truly is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send labourers out into his harvest. So those God's people, those who have been saved by Jesus, have a mandate from him. We have a mandate from him to bring in this harvest of souls, the unsaved people for whom Jesus gave his life. So to a degree, for the past 12 years, God's been preparing us as a church for partnering in what we believe is a global soul harvest, but in this town, Billericay, and beyond as well, because we reach the region. Now, just to say, it's not that we haven't seen any fruit. Praise God that we've seen God do great and wonderful things in the 12-plus years we've been a church. But we believe, and we've said it before, that we're entering into an increasingly missional season of harvest like we've never seen before. And if you have been to any of our prayer meetings, particularly at the Love Billericay Centre, you know that this has been a key focus, praying for revival and an awakening of people to the truth of Jesus. But as we know, revival is predicated on prayer. All the great revivals, prayer, they were undergirded by prayer. And as recipients of God's grace, I would say that the least we can do is to pray for others to be saved out of the flow of gratitude for what we've received as well. So, essentially, being increasingly missional, I would say, looks like a few things. Believers who have wholeheartedly embraced everything God has for them, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in them, a passion for God's word, and believing God's word, I would add to that as well, the pursuit of holiness, a submission to God's will for their lives, a commitment to the body of Christ, vital, a teachable spirit. There may be other things as well. All for the purpose of being powerful witnesses for Jesus in our spheres of influence. So, today I want to speak into this using the account of Gideon and his victory over the Midianites. So firstly, before I read some of the Bible passage, I want to give us a bit of a backstory. So the Israelites are once again in a cycle of turning their backs on God, losing God's covering hand of protection, suffering oppression and attack from other nations and people groups, coming to their senses, crying out to God for help, and then God sending them a leader to help them out of the pickle they got themselves in. In this biblical period, the Israelites were led by judges, which were essentially just another form of leader. They were often wise people rather than kings. And if you know anything about the book of Judges, they got through an awful lot of them, some who lasted a long time, some very short. Such was their frequency of this sin-repent cycle. That's what they went through. But now we catch up with them. In this occasion, they're suffering under the oppression of the Midianites. Once again, they cry out to God for help. God is so gracious and merciful, isn't he? But once more, as we were reminded this morning, side note, he made a covenant with the people of Israel. He was invested in Israel, and he wanted to see his purposes fulfilled. It was really essential. Jesus was coming through them, which is not only was God merciful because he's merciful, but he had a higher purpose as well. Anyway, The salvation came in the form of Gideon, and after much convincing from God that he was the man for the moment, Gideon finally accepted the mission, which was to rout the Midianites and defeat them. So a not insignificant 32,000 people reported for duty to serve in Gideon's army. Now, as worthy as this turnout might have seemed, God had a strategy which looked like preventing the Israelites from taking the credit from any eventual victory by virtue of the size of their army. Doesn't make sense always, but as we know, God is counterintuitive. He works counterintuitively. His ways, the word of God says, are not our ways. So we have to get used to that. And just to say also, pride had not worked well for the Israelites in the past, and God wasn't going to allow them to fall foul to that again. So let's begin reading at the Judges 7. I think it's verse 1. Sorry, I didn't write that down. To find out what happened next, Judges 7. Yes, it is verse 1. Judges 7, verse 1. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel will boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 32,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink." 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. In short, one group drinks in a vulnerable position, the other in a position of readiness. Actually, I don't think that was in the scripture, actually. That might be in my notes. That was my notes. I know. No, we're not adding to scripture here today or any day, just to say. I know. At least it means you're listening, doesn't it? Actually. Yeah, but I've got a little more explanation as well, actually, yeah. So, no, but it's really good you're attuned. That's not in the Bible, and I wish everyone was thinking like that. Anyway, stay on track. That's another message for another day. So the first group is described as lapping water. Mention of how a dog drinks, you know, might refer to a dog's tongue, you know, how it picks up water, but it then goes on to say that these men brought water to their mouths with their hands. So essentially, this would leave the soldier in a position of awareness and stability. The other group kneels to drink and possibly putting their lips to the stream. So this is clearly a test by God in those who lapped were the ones who were hand-picked to go to war. They were deemed fit. Those 300 men were deemed fit and ready for battle. So really, this is the focus of my short message this morning, and it raises a question for each of us and those listening to the recording. Am I fighting fit? Or put it another way, am I spiritually ready for the days ahead? Am I fighting fit? Am I spiritually ready for all the things God has for me and is doing in the days ahead? Some time ago, I sensed the Lord speak to me about him raising up in Revival Church, and I think the wider town, but just let's speak to us today, a Gideon's army. Those who have been living ready for this time, this moment, a people prepared. We began this year with a week of prayer, and the focus really was giving thanks to God for what he has done. and had done in the life of Revival Church Billericay, but also in hearing from God for what he was going to do as well. As leaders, it's not that we weren't aware where God is leading us, let's put it like that. But it was really important that everyone was engaged in that as well. You know, we weren't without strategy. And I mentioned, I think, in a video, the scripture from Proverbs 29:18, which says, where there's no vision, the people perish. So we need to have his vision. So in giving thanks to God for what he's done in the life of the church, we were rehearsing the supernatural activity of God. And that's, I guess, a sort of reverse prophetic stance. In doing so, we engage spiritually and intentionally with what God has done. So, you know, that requires us to have been alert to what God has been doing. The other part really is in hearing from God for his future plans for the church. We remain in that stance of prophetic engagement, not just Jane and me, not just the core leaders, but everyone. That was the purpose. And we take a personal ownership on what God will be doing. You know, as I say, yes, of course, the leadership, we have a strategic understanding, we believe, of where God is leading us. But it's paramount that those who make up the whole church family, young and old, to whatever degree we will understand it in age terms, we have our own personal revelation and understanding. We're not just following blindly. We have that understanding. That was the purpose. But before I narrow down our focus to what this might mean for each and every one of us within ongoing within the life of the church, I'd like to just momentarily broaden the focus, if you will, macro, to help us understand how that which God is doing in the life of Revival Church Billericay fits into the broader end time purposes of God. Just say we're not going to cover the whole issue this morning. It's just in a nutshell, but I hope it will be helpful. What I mean by that, in short, really is that one day Jesus will return. We don't know when, but the Bible makes clear to us that it's an absolute certainty. Jesus will return. More specifically, that's actually how this particular era of world history will come to an end. The Bible makes clear to us, or tells us, Jesus expects us, his church, to live with this moment in mind. I just recall at this point hearing a few years ago, I can't remember which Far Eastern nation it was. I've got a feeling it might be South Korea, I might be wrong, but it was just talking about how potent and powerful the church was there. And one of the main, if not the main reason given, was that they were taught to live with this readiness of Jesus' return. The church was. Therefore, actually, it had a knock-on effect to how people lived in the here and now. So, a few scriptures just to remind us of that from 2 Peter 3:11 to 12. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Luke 12:40. You also, this is talking to the church, you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And Revelation 16:15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And there's plenty more in the Bible where that came from. And we've tackled one of them already, which was the parable of the 10 virgins. 5, as we know, fell into that category of being unprepared. This is that. And we don't want to be in that category. They took their eye off what God was doing and shifted their focus, I would say, to the here and now. I was actually recently listening to a Derek Prince teaching. I think it's one of the ones I shared about Israel. I'm sure it was on the bulletin board about Jesus' return and about Israel. And by his estimation, I think if I'm getting my facts right, 81% of the biblical prophecies linking Jesus' return and Israel have already been fulfilled. I think I'm getting my facts right. But here's the thing. In that this teaching probably was recorded 20, 30 years ago, there's a good chance this percentage has risen. And the reason I mention Israel is that our biblical chronology for Jesus' returns ultimately takes its setting from God's fulfillment of his plans and purposes for Israel and the Jewish people. So if we haven't got our eye biblically on what God is doing in Israel, our chronology, I'm not even going to say it will be skewed, we won't even have an understanding of that. So that's really quite critical. After all, it's going to be to Israel that Jesus will return, and from Jerusalem that he's going to reign. We need to be mindful of these things to help us keep sharp, alert and prepared. And I just felt to add to this as well. I know we've talked a lot about Israel, but it's really important. I can't avoid it. It's going to be against Israel that Satan will make his final stand, marshalling enemy armies of the world against God's chosen people. I hope you just heard what I just said. It will be Satan who leads the final charge against Israel in the last days. Now, the global rise in anti-Semitism over the past 15 months is noteworthy in this respect of the rise of Satan against Israel, but and as a confirmation of the days that we're in. But I also say it's a chastening warning to the body of Christ, who might be really tacit in their support of the enemies of Israel and have actually been supporting or actually backing the wrong horse in worldly terms. If Jesus is returning and Satan is upping his game against Israel, we do not do well not to be deceived into supporting the work of the devil in actually wanting God's people annihilated and everything else that anti-Semitism wants. So we do well to be mindful of what God is doing. Just to say how it ends is that Satan and those with him will meet an inglorious end, and they're going to be defeated conclusively by Jesus. So once more, we do well to make sure we're on the right side of biblical history. Let's put it like that. And I say this once more, not as an aside really, for the purpose of sharpening our senses of readiness for Christ's return. Seeing the signs in the world, seeing the signs in the Bible, asking God for personal revelation, but ensuring that we are fully lined up with God's plans and purposes, and therefore for the goal of living ready for Jesus in our daily lives right now. And, you know, Sue was talking, you know, about that, our spheres of influence, the influence we had. It's lovely hearing those, wonderful hearing those testimonies. We get called to live in the here and now. It's not incongruous. You know, Jesus will return. We don't batten down the hatches and disappear off to some mountaintop to live on our own. No, we live in the world, doing the things of the kingdom, but living ready as well. So they're not incongruous. And I would just say we need to be delivered from any possible carnal living in the here and now mindset, so that we can live in the world, but not of the world. Ever mindful of Jesus' return does that for us. So maybe we need to preach more on that. The Bible has much to say on Jesus living ready for his return. And perhaps maybe another time we can go into greater detail about that. But I believe that having the end of this present era in the crosshairs of our focus, as the Bible endorses us to do, will then once more help us to live ready in every other respect as well. Keep us really sharp. This will include ensuring we are equipped and ready to be effective witnesses for Jesus in our sphere of influence in our daily lives. Now, a while ago, we gave you some tools, didn't we? And teaching about creating a blessing for someone who could speak their blessing over regularly, and you would pray for them with the expectation you might be able to share your faith with them. I don't know if anyone, how's this going? You don't have to answer me. I have one person, I'm not praying for anyone. I have one person that I crafted a blessing prayer, which I bless them with every week. I pray for them, and I'm looking for an opportunity to up my game in connection with them. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm doing that. That's my sphere of influence. It's not the only one, but I'm encouraging us all. We all get our part to play. So if you haven't done that as well, can I encourage you to go back to that information, find that person, and this keeps us sharp. but we all play our part. It's about being ready and active. So I want to draw together threads before the children charge down or walk calmly down. I'm a man of faith. Last year we said that we believed in 2025 God was calling us to be increasingly missional as a church. It's really interesting, in our times of prayer and worship, we heard the sound of God rallying his troops. Like, we used to be in the brigades, and we used to go on summer camps. The day began and ended with a bugle call. It was quite early. Was it 7 o'clock reveille? We were up at six, but 7 o'clock was reveille. It signaled the start of the day. I believe in the Spirit there's been a rallying call to God's people in these days, not just a revival church, but across the world. He is rallying his troops for this time. And I believe the increasingly missional time actually isn't just bespoke for Revival Church Billericay. I think it's reflective of what God is doing globally. Once more, you can read the scripture about end time harvest and God's heart for people to come into the kingdom. Jesus died for everybody. And whilst the Bible clearly speaks about the darkness, evil increasing, there's also the opportunity for light, that's kingdom people, to increase in their witness. That's what we're going to be focused on. That's what this is about. But it needs each of us in this body, in this town, each of the Christians in the congregation in this town, every believer, to be fighting fit and ready for action. To discard our civvies, you know, civilian clothing. That's what they used to call it. Well, they talk civvies, the people who went into the army. They left their civvies, their civilian clothing, and they attired themselves in military garb. We don't need to do that literally, but it's a metaphor for living ready. And this isn't really so much, it isn't about a battle against Satan. We're not fighting Satan personally. Jesus defeated him. But it is, the word militant isn't a word we liked. William Booth had it because he called the Salvation Army that. But it's militantly preparing to build spiritual bridgeheads. So I'm using militant terminology. Into the darkness in our town and beyond. Places where people have been held captive by the enemy and set them free in Jesus' name. Whether we're blessing them, praying for them, just walking alongside them. We each have a part of that, but we do that. To do that, we need to live ready. So, bring this to a close, really. The account of Gideon and his army very much speaks into all of this and raises a question which each of us needs to ask. And it's this, and I'll ask it to myself first in the context of the story of Gideon. Am I a lapper? Am I one such person who is fighting fit, who is ready for action and is trusting totally on the Spirit and the Word of God? I'll put this to you, my friends. Are you a lapper? Are you ready, alert, ready, primed in your day-to-day lives to be used by God? Being ready for Jesus' return rather sharpens our focus, which is why I said those things. But actually, in the here and now, are we one of those Gideon's army who refresh ourselves, but from a position of being ready? And God says, you know, it's not that the other people don't have a place, because just to say, if you read on in the account, once Gideon and his 300 men had secured the victory by both their alertness, but also God's power, then the rest of Israel was called in to mop up the others. Wouldn't you want to be one of those people at the vanguard, at the front? Wouldn't you want to be those first people who see the victory, who see people come out of the darkness and give their life to Jesus? I want to be one of those people who is alert and ready. So that's the opportunity. I want to just bring this to a close. And I want to pray for us, and then we're going to, when the kids come down, we're just going to go into our commissioning element. I want to pray for my family here, for those who are listening later. My prayer is, Lord God, that each and every one of us will be one of those people who are 100% ready, fighting fit, reporting for duty, have heard the call of heaven, the battle cry, and are living alert now, alert for Jesus' return, and ready for action. And I pray, Lord God, that anything in our lives that is of civilian priority, anything of the world in these days that we need to take off, that you would show us so that once more that we can be alert and fighting fit. I want to pray that as we intentionally enter into a season this year of being increasingly missional, I want to pray from the youngest to the oldest, Lord God, we would have the privilege of partnering in seeing souls saved, brought into the kingdom in our daily lives, Lord, not just in these meetings, but just in our spheres of influence, Lord God. Would you raise our faith to expect that when we need? Lord, your word says, not by might, not by power, but my spirit, says the Lord. God, would you empower us to do that? In Jesus' name, amen.